Hello and welcome to Interactive Distractions, episode number 193. Hi. My name is Christopher Riccio, and I'm here with Jeff Chorney.
What up, guys?
And Travis Baum.
What's happening?
And today we are going to talk about online features and which ones there are worth paying for and which ones should be free. Before that, we'll do some distractions and news, and afterwards we'll do new releases, listener email, and a new question of the week. But before we go on, Jeff, what is up, brother? How are you doing? How are things up in there in Canadian land?
Up here in the Canadian land, things are all right. It actually is still hot, actually. I thought it was going to – we had like a week where it kind of cooled down to like in the mid-20s, which I'm not even trying to do that conversion. But that's, you know, it's relatively – it's still shorts and a t-shirt, yeah. But not uncomfortable. But now this week it's gone back up to like the 30s, like low 30s. So
it's still swampy in the nether regions.
It is, like, yeah. It still gets swamp ass if you're like walking around. Like,
still need to borrow your mother's hair dryer. Yeah,
exactly. It's so hot here. Like I get swamp ass by just sitting down here podcasting. Like after yes, I get up, yes. After I get up, I'm walking around like, oh, that's terrible.
Poached my members straight up.
It's gonna be a good night.
But that's all right. It's actually Tanya's birthday just passed, actually. She had just passed that. It was on Tuesday, I think. Yeah, it was on Tuesday. So this weekend, we're going to be celebrating.
Nice.
If you guys just go down to the
beach.
Happy
birthday, Tanya. We love you.
Yay.
And she says thank you. I'm sure she will. So we're going to hit up the beach and do some barbecue and probably, you know, we have to get a little bit of booze in there somehow. But the whole law thing tells you not to. But you know how those, you know, we're all adults now, so we usually get harassed by cops anymore when we do that kind of thing. That's fun times. So that's what we're going to do on Saturday, then go to a patio and have some more wobbly bops.
Go to a patio.
And,
yeah.
Like a patio bar. Like, you know,
okay, patio bar.
Patio.
All right.
Yeah. So we can sit outside and shit and get more swamp ass.
Yeah. Where your throats and your ass are both moist.
Exactly. There you go. But yeah, this past weekend was kind of, you know, kind of tame. Some stuff happened. Some stuff was fun. Some stuff wasn't fun. I don't even know what I kind of lost my train of thought when I was talking about last weekend, so I don't know what to say. That's kind of what I went with. But I will say, actually, I'm looking forward to, I guess, next week when people listen to this is actually the Toronto Fan Expo that they have every year. It's kind of like a convention. It's kind of like we used to be like a comic convention. Now it's like everything, like gaming and everything. So I'm going to check that out. So next week, I still won't be able to talk to it, actually, because it still wouldn't have happened. Yeah.
Well done.
Yes, this is in the future. So, yeah. That's exciting shit. Fuck, I am boring and stumbling over words. Travis, what the fuck's up?
And that's why we love his ass. Okay, I have been super, super busy at work, and it's been crazy, but it's all going to be totally worth it because I have conference over in the hot Vegas, I guess you can say. We're going to be going over to Sin City and just talking video games, hopefully playing some new video games that haven't even come out yet.
Hopefully playing that PSV.
Maybe, possibly. But I'm super excited about that, but there's just tons and tons and tons of preparation that I have to do for work before all that even happens. So that's what I'm in the middle of. Nothing interesting, just, you know, work until I can have me some fun for 5 days. So that's it. But I want to hear from my homie, Mr. Scoots McRiccio. Where's it at, man? What's happening?
Scoots McRiccio. Nice.
I did not have a good day today.
Oh,
because
what happened, buddy?
Because they told me my car was going to cost $1,100 to fix.
Oh.
So they still have my car. Let me say that first. They still have my fucking car. Let's put this down. We are recording on Thursday. Tomorrow, that bitch will be gone for 2 weeks. They will have had my car for 2 weeks, and they finally figured it out today and told me it was fucking $1,100. They said, "Oh, it's a $700 part." Oh, really? I found three different auto parts stores that had it for $400. $300 and $275. I say, fuck you. Don't order that part. I will bring you one and you can put it in my car.
There you go.
I am not spending, I am not giving you $400 markup on a fucking part. You can kiss my ass. So yeah, that was my day today. So hopefully I will get that taken care of and it will only cost, only is in air quotes, by the way. It will only cost me about $600-$700 compared to the $1,100.
Well, that's
fuck
better.
Fuck car service places, man. I hate them. Can't stand them.
give it to you right in the butt. That's the
yes. And then they're trying to tell me. Then they're trying to tell me, oh well, the part won't be warrantied through us. I'm like, no shit, it'll be warrantied through who I buy it from. And then they're like, but if the part fails, then you have to pay for labor. And I said, yeah. And then they reimburse me for it afterwards. So yeah, it was just a bunch of crap. And I'm like, I'm not giving you $400 markup on a fucking part. You can kiss my ass. So anyway, I'm done with that. Let's move on and talk about something more positive, like IndusFest.
Yeah.
All right. Yep. So I still have not updated the post. Hopefully I will be able to do that this weekend. I'm going to be doing a lot of IndusFest work this weekend. Hopefully by the time this airs, the shop is up. And when that goes up, there will be a post on Retroids. So go over to Retroids and check and see if it's there. If it's not, I'm sorry. I jumped the gun. But we're working on that. We have a special, I don't even know how to describe it, but we have a something special planned that we're hoping that's going to get off the ground, early next week. That is pretty important to us, but we're not sure how you guys are going to feel about it.
We can probably just say it, because it's going to happen either way, right? We're going to try.
Oh, no, we're going forward with it regardless.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here's kind of the deal. Because if we don't get the store up, if they want to play.
Here's kind of the deal. Our biggest fan, and the reason we can say that is because everybody who is a fan of Indus already knows he's our biggest fan.
Right.
Very true.
Mr. Jack Bauer, Andrew Thomas. He is a student over in the UK, and students are broke, but we want this dude to come to IndusFest. So we at Indus are throwing money into a pot to try and get his ass over here.
Yeah.
So what we are also doing is asking for assistance from you guys, and we're doing it in a couple of ways. Now, first off, I want to say this. The week after IndusFest is Extra Life. If you plan on donating to Extra Life, do not sway that plan. Extra Life is more important to donate to than this cause. I mean, we love Jack Bauer, but fucking, help the kids. That's what it's about.
Yeah.
But what we're going to do is the first month or so that the store is up, the items are going to be marked up a little bit extra. And all of basically everything that we personally would make off of one of these shirts or underwear that says you want to get Indus or whatever it is that you buy off the store, any profits that we would make goes into this pot to get Jack Bauer.
All of it.
And we are not going to be making a dime.
Yeah.
And all of us have committed to drop money on this to get him over here too. We are going to be asking for assistance. If you don't want to assist, that's fine. If you do, that's fine too. I have some other ideas that I'm going to throw around with the guys, that I haven't mentioned yet. So I'm not going to mention them on the podcast, but, hopefully we'll launch this next week. Cause you know what? I mean, Jack Bauer has done a lot for us and we want to return the favor. He has been, an incredible fan and an incredible friend to us, and we love that guy. So that's kind of the plan. So
we need to bring him across the pond.
So here's the hope.
Make him eat a peanut butter sandwich. Make him eat
real peanut butter that doesn't suck.
Oh, that's happening. If we get the money to get him over here, he's eating some motherfucking peanut butter.
He's eating
I'm gonna give him a fucking tablespoon of Jif, and I'm gonna say, eat this shit.
For those who don't know, he tried peanut butter for the first time like last year and absolutely despised it. But we're all convinced it was not.
Dude's in college. How have you not had peanut butter? You're in college.
Oh, yeah, seriously.
You should be living off of peanut butter.
How many
in college.
Crumpets have you had, Chris?
How many crumpets have you had? I've had crumpets before. Yeah. They're pretty good. I like them.
How many spots of tea did you enjoy during college?
Spots of tea.
But he's had a lot of spotted dick, though.
Wow. Okay. Anyway, so here's the hope. On Monday, hopefully the post will be updated for IndusFest with all the details that we talked about a couple weeks ago. We will have more information on Bowerade. That's what we're calling it. And the store will be up. So that is the plan. Hopefully you're listening to this and you're going to Retroids or you're trying to link to the store right now because I actually got all my fucking work done. What are the chances of that?
Right.
Not much. Okay. No. Anyway, but that's kind of what's going on. IndusFest is coming fast. If you are coming, please let us know. Go to Retroids and RSVP in the thread. If you are not on Retroids, just drop us an email and let us know, man. We'll make arrangements to you know, have loot for you. So that's kind of the plan. Travis, what are you playing this week?
The only thing that I'm playing, actually, it's ironic that I can't talk about it, but I'm playing Madden 12 right now. But no, I can't really talk too much about it, say how I feel about it. It's Madden. There's footballs and helmets.
There's footballs. Way. Is there first-person shooting?
No, there is not first-person shooting. But there are cleats.
How about first-person throwing? Is there first-person throwing?
No. That's not so, in there. But there is throwing. You're halfway
Madden,
there. There is.
Let's say Madden 11 plus is a hot chick.
It's Madden 11 plus stuff.
But if Madden 11 is a hot chick and Madden 12 is a hot chick, you have one night to spend with one of them. Which one do you pick?
I would go with the hot chick easily.
You'd go with the hot chick.
I'd go with the hot chick. But yeah, I'll probably be able to talk with it. The embargo lifts, I believe, this Friday that people are listening to the show. So two shows from now, I should be able to talk about it just fine. So if I'm even here, I don't think I'm going to be able to record.
No.
Because I'll be in Vegas one of those weeks. So.
Yeah.
It's next week.
Well,
are you in Vegas next week?
Not next week, the week after.
So you can talk about it next week.
Can I?
Well, yeah, because the show isn't going to release until after the embargo lifts.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you're right. So, hey, there we go.
Love it.
Magic of podcast.
What else you got? Anything else?
That's it. That's all I played.
I'm going to pass it off to Jeff then. What do you got, buddy?
Wow. Fucking man, a lot of Street Fighter.
I am so surprised. No,
let's see. What else have I played? I played a little bit of Killzone 3.
Really?
Chugging away. Yeah, just a little bit of the campaign here and there. Other than that, El Shaddai is, like, I guess, the only other one.
And El Shaddai.
I know you've been playing that.
I have been playing that.
Dive into it. I wasn't going to pick it up, but I was like, yeah, fuck it. I was jonesing for a new game. I needed something. So I'm like, I was in this gaming rut where I just didn't feel like playing anything, and I wasn't motivated, and I was like, if it wasn't, like, Street Fighter or something, I just didn't want to play it. Then I got the urge to buy something new, so I had to get it, so I picked it up.
So, okay. Yeah, I was kind of in the same boat. I wasn't sure if I was going to get it or not. And then in reality, it's like when I was preparing for having Shane on the show, and I watched a few videos on game trailers, and when I saw like how the game worked, I was like, okay, you know, sign me up. So that's when I pre-ordered it. But I mean, at this point, I'm glad I did, man.
I am to extend, like, I'm not gonna lie, I hated it the first hour of that game. I did not like it at
all.
Yeah,
the first hour is kind of slow.
Because it's very slow, it's very kind of old school design where a lot of tutorials these days happen in the beginning of the games, and this is the same kind of way, but a lot of the games these days do a good job of not taking you out of that game or out of the atmosphere and out of, like, the zone while teaching you stuff, where this has that total, like, I hate to say it, but it's that whole, like, kind of Japanese design where, like, Bayonetta had like, kind of, like, the same problem, too, where the second you learn something new, the game stops.
Right.
And then a screen will pop up and be like, this is how to do this. And I mean, yeah, it's telling you how to play the game, but a lot of other games, similar style, don't have to do that. Like a God of War, like even Dante's Inferno or Ninja Gaiden, it's like, they teach you while you're actually playing the game, and they put you in situations to use these certain moves.
Right.
I found at the beginning of this game, it doesn't really do that. It'll explain something to you, but it doesn't make you do it to make sure you got, like, you understand it kind of thing. Like,
yeah, it just tells you, this is how you do this, and then it just drops you right back into the game.
Exactly, yeah.
And one of the things that, and I'm not sure if this is, you know, if this is maybe an issue with just me or if it's just the game in general, but did you notice that when it pops up those informational screens that it actually seems like it takes a second to load?
It's got what I call the Bayonetta on PS3 syndrome.
Oh,
which
yeah,
is
that's true.
Ridiculous considering the game is a man. Well, I got it on PS3. Did you get it on PS3?
I did, yeah.
Because it's a standard, you have to install it, it's mandatory. And it's like almost 5 gigs. It's like 4 point something gigs. It's basically the entire game. It seems like it's installing on the hard drive. And yeah, it's like when those things come up, it takes a couple seconds, the thing pops up. And then you close it, it takes a couple seconds back in the game. Which is kind of annoying, but luckily, it only happens in the first, like, maybe hour or two, basically,
yeah,
when you're learning
it's
stuff.
It's that first chapter,
basics.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah, and you'll every once in a while it happen again when you learn more advanced stuff down the line. Like, I finally, like, oh my, this is actually perfect, because I was, how far did you play to? How far are you?
I think I am at the beginning of chapter 6.
Okay,
so, I just fought the
what's it called?
The Nephilim, the Fire Nephilim.
Oh, the fire Nephilim. Yeah, that the Nephilims are funny and totally wacky, and I don't understand even
completely
why they're
Japanese,
there.
Dude. Completely Japanese.
It's just that level is awesome.
I loved it. Chapter four, I was just...
It's my favorite chapter.
It was like
so far,
a smile from ear to ear the entire time I was playing.
Yeah, it was, and the platforming in it was fucking brilliant, and I loved
it. Was,
because
it reminded me of old school platforming.
Yeah, yeah. I want to go back to this. Bring this back at some point, but up to that point, and I think, you've definitely done this, but just before that, I was thinking, you know what this game needs? It needs some kind of superpower, super moves. I'm kind of getting sick of using the same three weapons, and to be honest, the weapons kind of, they don't have a lot of combos to them. Like, my weapon of choice is the arch.
That's most
90% of the time.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. I do not touch the other weapons unless I absolutely have to. And, So I was like, it needs something. And right when I was thinking that, I got introduced to a new power where you do get this kind of superpower type thing, which I thought was kind of cool. So the pacing was like, it could have been, it was almost a little bit too late, but it hit right at the right time. I was like, it's actually, you know what? Perfect. Right when I was starting to be like, this game needs some kind of superpowers. And with that, boom, you get it.
Yeah.
And that's kind of cool.
See, I'm like, when it comes to the weapons, I'm in the same boat that you are in most cases. Like if I'm fighting typical enemies, I'm using the arch. And then, but if I'm on those 2D platforming stages, I'm using the projectile weapon. Yeah,
the Gale.
And then when I fight bosses or watchers, I really want the shield weapon.
I kind of go between the arch and the shield one, both of them. Because it helps out defensively for sure. And I'm going to start using the projectile one during the side scrolling ones. Because actually, so far, I like the 3D levels. They're fun. I don't think they have the variety that other character action games have.
Agreed.
Like, again, Bayonetta. Like, I think the combat does kind of get stale, and you're kind of doing the same things over and over again. And the camera kind of gets in the way. And my biggest issue with the 3D combat is, we talked about this through an email, but you can't cancel out of normal attacks.
Yeah, that's annoying.
And it's so annoying, because the game is pretty hard. Like, I'm playing on normal, and you will die quite a bit, but you don't really die in this game. You have, so many chances.
You have the recover.
And
I kind of finally stopped worrying about that so much. At first I was like, God damn it, these regular fucking enemies are kicking my ass and I have to recover on them all the time. But I kind of think of it less of that and almost like, you know, it's almost like you're playing, some sort of like a beat 'em up where if you die, you drop right back in where you left off
and you start right back up again. Yeah.
That's kind of the way I've been thinking about it lately, because when you're recovering, it gets harder and harder to recover the more that you die in each encounter. So if you encounter a group of six or seven guys and they come out two or three at a time, if you die multiple times, if on that encounter, then it gets harder and harder to recover.
Exactly,
and then you have to continue. So I've started to ease back on that because it was getting kind of annoying at first, but now it's just that's the mechanic. That's how the game works. That's part of the game. It's just a mechanic that they implemented to, you know, it's like having lives in a beat 'em up game. So that's kind of the way I'm thinking about it.
Exactly. And it's like, it's just the difficulty, I think, is a little bit, it's a little bit higher than I think it needs to be, only because, one, because the camera angle can kind of be weird. Because a lot of the times you're fighting more than one enemy, and a lot of the times you're fighting two melee opponents with someone who's a projectile opponent. So if you're sitting there beating the crap out of one of the melee enemies,
all of a sudden you get hit by
a projectile
shot,
and it knocks you out of your animation. But at the same time, if you're beating the crap out of one of those melee guys, and you see on screen is still the projectile enemy, and you see he's about to attack, you can't do anything about it. You got to sit there. You got to take your hits and then get knocked out of the combo and then basically try to regather yourself, which isn't a big problem. But I just mean if it had the fluidity of some other.
It's archaic
games,
is the problem. It's not a huge problem. I mean, there are other games that did it, but not in the recent history of character action games.
Mm-hmm.
Recent character action games. If you're in the middle of an animation of an attack animation and you hit block, you block.
Yeah.
In this one, you have to finish your attack, and when the frames finally finish, then you block. And most of the time, it's too late.
And some people will say, it's there to make the game hard. I'm like, I would buy that argument, but I'm sorry, Ninja Gaiden is known for being one of the most difficult character action games,
and you can interrupt anything that you do. You can cancel out.
I mean, the camera still sucks in Ninja Gaiden, but I mean, that's still it's you know, those aren't the only hard parts. But I mean, it's I don't know. You were going to say something, Chris? Sorry.
No. I was agreeing with you that you know, I was going to say that the camera in Ninja Gaiden is. I'm sorry. That the camera in El Shaddai is not as bad as the camera in Ninja Gaiden, in my opinion.
Oh, no, it's not at all. Well, it's also because you're not really going down, like, thin corridors or anything either. Like, the levels and the 3D environments in this game are absolutely gorgeous, I think. I mean, if you don't like the art style, I can see people being put off by it, but I think it's a breath of fresh air for the most part, and they're really,
I do too.
Really,
and it's not like,
well-designed.
It's not like the graphics are technically impressive.
No,
but artistically, they are gorgeous.
Yeah. Oh, dude,
especially, like, chapter...
Models.
Yeah, the character
like,
models
I
are not
stand
good.
Them.
But like you, as soon as you get to chapter two and you're running around this Tron-like world with like fireworks going off in the background and shit like that, and it's
and
it's
singing,
it's eye-opening. Yeah, the music is incredible.
Yeah,
like all the sound in general, I think is pretty damn good. But some of those some of the songs that they bust out like during the game,
they're really good,
impressive. Yeah.
I mean, if you played Bastion and that whole, what's it called, the song with the song of that girl you meet, a lot of the songs remind me of that kind of thing.
Yeah, there you go.
If I can't remember what that song's called, though. But anyway, yeah, and the sound for the most part, I mean, there's probably, with the voice acting, I wouldn't say it's bad, but a lot of the lines I find are delivered, like, there's way too long pauses between sentences, and they'll be like, so then, yeah, he's walking into this, whatever, blah, 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 and then it's like a long pause, and you're like, you know, it's kind of predictable what he's going to say, but it takes like 5 seconds, and he continues on talking.
Yeah, and then they didn't adjust the lip syncing to the American.
I just
think it's funny because all of a sudden I don't know what the dude's name is, the one that's always calling God on the phone.
Lucifelt?
Yeah, it's Lucifer. It's Lucifelt. It's Lucifer before Lucifer. He fell. Fell, you know, from grace.
Fell from.
Okay,
grace.
Cool.
Exactly.
Yeah. So he'll start talking and he'll stop talking and his lips just keep moving for like 2 seconds and it's just a little off putting, you know. So. But, I'll say this though. One of the things that really frustrated me is that, the first boss that you fight, I think it was the first boss that you fight.
The first real boss or the first boss, like, it's hard to define because you fight boss.
The Watchers
characters.
Are not bosses. I don't consider the Watchers bosses. They're like, they're in your way and they kill you and go. And that's
You know what? I realize they don't have to kill you and go. You can actually beat them.
Yeah, I've beaten a couple of them.
Okay, I didn't realize that literally till the last one. I was like, you know what, I'm actually going to try to beat this guy, be really defensive and dodge and counter. And then I basically did the same thing they usually do to me. I'll beat them up for a bit, and all of a sudden they'll be like, oh, you're getting better. When usually they just kick my ass and be like, oh, you're still not strong enough. I'm like, okay, this is the game. I'm supposed to lose here.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I've beaten two of the Watchers so far. But, I mean, I've met like 10 of them, you know, it's like most of the time they're kicking your ass. But the first boss, it's like there was this cutscene. Like before the boss, and it was where you got the super move that you were talking about, and I got knocked out and just completely forgot to recover, and it sent me back. It says this is not your time to die, and you continue. I had to watch that entire fucking cutscene over again because it wouldn't let me skip it.
Oh no. You talking about the two armored? No, that's
no. It's after that one. It's the I
consider that the first boss. But.
Yeah. It was the second one. It's where you get the super move. But I had to sit through that entire cutscene where it gives you the super move again because it will not let you skip. And it's weird because every other cutscene I saw a skip button, and on this
that's
one it was
true.
Just
they
like
all, they give you one for pretty much all of them. Well, all the ones that are in between levels, I guess.
Yeah.
If that makes
and
sense.
For this one, it just didn't. So, and it really annoyed the crap out of me. I don't know. I'm not sure why. Well, I am sure why, because it was like 5 minutes.
Well, it's a long one.
It's like you finish, you get beat by the boss, and you want to get right back into the game, and it just takes you out of it. And it's like, no, you're going to see this again. It's like, damn it.
And it sounds like we're actually shooting with all negatives, but I mean, the game is actually a lot more fun. Like, after the first hour, it really drew on me. I think the side-scrolling levels are absolutely amazing. It just makes me want that fucking Strider remake or a Castlevania remake in 2D all over, like, more than badly.
I 100% agree.
They've done really well. A lot of imagination in what's in the levels. So there's not really a lot of combat in these levels. It's just mostly platforming, and it's a lot of fun. And I think they're broken up fine. Like, you do a little bit of 3D level, get your fucking ninjaing on, or whatever you want to call it. And then
I think some of the best graphics in the game come from those sides going.
Oh, they're just so yeah. good. They do yeah, so good.
They're
awesome.
Very colorful and creative, and mm-hmm. you know, I would be okay with them making a game that's just that. Mm-hmm. You know, put in some combat along the way, but make the game 2D side scrolling like that, and just that's the way it should be. I would be happy with that. That's your PS Vita game. Do that.
There you go. Yeah.
$1 million idea right there.
I'm enjoying it. I'm pretty sure I'll probably be done with it by the weekend.
I'll probably be done with it.
Do you know how many chapters are in the game?
I don't, but you know what? I can look it up.
Originally
we were going to this review was going to be done by Jason, but since he's actually been sick and is in the middle of another review, I think I'm taking this one over. So hopefully that will be out maybe not next week, but the week after. We'll see what happens. Well, actually, I should say maybe not this week, but the week after.
Yes, there you go. But, yeah, not really too many. Like, the complaints I have are kind of minor annoyances, but you have to let people know about them because, I mean, it's fitting in a genre that is, on the PS3 anyway, a little bit, I wouldn't say crowded, but there's a lot of games out there.
And there's a lot of character action games. I think I started learning along the way that, you know, it's usually, in this game, it's just usually better to be more defensive because of the fact that you can't block, you can't like break out of animation. So I find myself being much more defensive. And I think that's why I'm actually being drawn to the big, tough, slow, high defense shield weapon that they have in there.
Is that the Gale? There's the Gale, the Veil, and the Arch. So two of them are named very, very similar.
The Veil, the Gale is the projectile weapon. The Veil
is
the shield
thing. Okay. Yeah. But the big gauntlet things that turn into the shield.
Yeah, and they also help you out along the way too. They give you get this item that actually literally shows up on Enoch's eyes, and like every once in a while you'll see like this blue ring above people.
Why is it every once in a while though? I don't know. Wonder why it only works sometimes.
The thing is that they said that it was going to be blue if you're using the right weapon against the enemy, and purple, then you'll see neutral. Nothing if it really doesn't matter, and then it'll be. Like,
no, it's purple. Purple's neutral. Blue's you got the advantage, and red has the enemy has the advantage. So
I've only seen the blue. I think
I've seen all of them, but it only pops up sometimes, and it seems to only pop up on boss characters, and only sometimes. Like when one of the boss characters actually died, like I couldn't recover in time. I had to come back. Like I fought him, died a couple times, and all of a sudden it started showing up. So I'm not sure if it's like you have to die a couple times on them first, then it'll start giving you like a hint kind of thing, or what? Cause it's definitely not on all the time. That's for sure.
Yeah, I haven't seen it all the time. That's for sure. But
it's cool.
Yeah, well, I mean, I probably couldn't tell the difference between the blue and the purple, but I haven't seen the red yet. Mm-hmm. So apparently, I'm avoiding the bad weapons against the enemies.
That's
so.
Good. Well, you're pretty much safe with the arch or the gauntlet things. It's whenever I use the projectile ones that I see the red almost all the time. So I don't know. I just don't like the main character. I'm sorry. Like, I don't know what they're going for, if they wanted to think that's what, like, the Western audience looks for, but it's basically a guy with jeans and no shirt, and button fly jeans, by the way.
what?
This awful, like armor, like, kind of, like, thing that kind of breaks off you. It's just like, it's just a very, very generic main character, but, I mean, I can look past that, because, I mean, it's, the rest of the game is pretty solid, for the most part.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it.
I did not think I was going to, especially after that first hour, but I would totally. You're gonna do the written review, but I want to give like a quick, like maybe audio review next time if we both beat it by next week.
Yeah, either that or I mean just throw up a second opinion
or a second opinion or something like that. Yeah, that'd be a good idea too. Cool.
Absolutely.
That's all I've been playing, man. That's like basically it.
Okay. Let me see. What do I have to add? I dug into the backlog a little bit. Before El Shaddai came out, and I was playing Star Wars: The Force Unleashed.
The first one?
Yes. Huh. That game does not hold up very well as far as like mechanics.
No.
Really?
It's just mechanically flawed in general. There are just like things that just don't seem right about it. Like when you're playing, it's like,
can you cancel out of combos?
Yes, you can.
Oh, fuck.
But I don't know. It just, there's something about it that just doesn't feel right. The camera is horrible. And you know, I don't know. It's just like, I think that Starkiller dies way too easy for a Sith.
Don't you?
Yeah,
don't you
probably
control the camera in that game.
You do. It's it, but it doesn't do very much on its own. And if you lock on, locking on is awkward. I don't know. It's just, it feels awkward playing the game while locking on to someone, because it's just, it doesn't feel good on your hand, I guess. I don't know. But I'm trying to get through it because I have the first one and the second one, and I haven't beaten either of them. And I love Star Wars, so I kind of want to know what the story is. And, you know, I'm having trouble getting past
The first one's not bad, and it's way better than the second one, so.
I've heard that too, unfortunately, which means that when I get to the second one, I'm going to be like, oh, this is even worse!
Somebody.
Yeah.
Well, I heard the first one's better, like, technically built. It just gets repetitive really, really soon, and they just kind of repeat everything over and over again.
Yeah. I'm not hating it at all, but, you know, it's just weird that, just some things that I'm still trying to get used to as far as, like, enemies that, you know, hey, here's a guy with a sniper rifle, and there's a dude with a rocket launcher right there, and there's this. So they throw a lot at Starkiller all at one time, and he just doesn't handle it very well at this point. So, but I'm getting a lot of the cooler powers now, so it's going to make it a lot easier. And I've found that my favorite thing to do is grab enemies and just throw them, because it's fun. So there you go.
Awesome.
One other thing that I have been playing, and I actually forgot to mention this on last week's show, and if you listen to Irrational Passions, you probably hear me talk about it a little bit. So I'm going to touch on it briefly, and I don't usually do this, but it's a mobile game. It was one of the free games that hit the Amazon App Store, and it's called Refraction. And basically, it's a puzzle game where they give you a grid set up, and there's obstacles on the grid that you have to avoid. And the idea is to get a laser beam to a specific color target. And I'll get to the color part in a second. And you have to light up all the targets with the colored beams. Usually this would not work for me because I am colorblind, and it is really obvious while playing this game that I am colorblind. The blue looks like the purple, the yellow looks like the green, the orange kind of blends in with the red sometimes. So it's just very hard to see everything, like when, with these thin laser beams that are being shot around this stage. Luckily, it's more about, splitting the light and joining the light than it is about actually seeing the colors. So if I see a beam and I don't know what color it is, I just stick a prism in front of it, and it either splits into its primary colors or it splits into two beams of the same color. So that's made it easier for me to play, and I've been able to do it. So the idea is that you've got mirrors and prisms to use, and you have to navigate these light beams around the grid to light up the targets. And it sounds, it sounds boring just listening to myself talk about it, but I am completely friggin' addicted to this game. And they introduce new mechanics along the way, and it's like, the second set of stages, they introduce these little square targets that open up. They like basically remove obstacles from the grid, so it's easier to get to the target that you're trying to hit. And then in the third area, they open up like black holes, and you shoot it in, you shoot a laser into one black hole, and it comes out the other side going the same direction. So lots of cool little mechanics like that. And, you know, when you're thinking about, you know, the six main colors and the three primaries, the three secondaries, and the way that they lay out the targets, it's like they'll give you a green beam and a red beam, and they'll tell you to hit an orange target later on. So you split one, and then you join them up at the end. And, you know, for me, when I was in school, my favorite part of science was physics. My favorite part of physics was light and sound. So this is right up my alley. And that's why I like it. So
what's it called?
Refraction. It's 99 cents. I'm pretty sure it's on the App Store as well, but they might have a little trial. But the one cool thing is that you can take screenshots of your solutions. So what I might do is I might post a couple of my solution screenshots, because they get really, really complicated really fast. And it's just really, really interesting. And they basically, it's like the lower the score, the better. And what they do is, like, for each object you put onto the grid, they add a point, and then for each space that a laser shoots across the grid, you get another point. So the idea is to use as few objects and to get the beam to go as short a distance as possible. So really, really cool concept. Very, very good puzzle game if you're into something that's very challenging. So, you know, you guys check it out. And that's all I have.
Cool.
So let's move on to news.
News.
Am I running news this time around?
May as well. I don't have the links.
Maybe.
All right. I have some, you know, Gamescom was this week, so there's a lot of stuff going on. Let's start with Sony. Sony dropped a couple things out. First of all, out of nowhere, they just said, "Hey, starting now, PS3 is $250."
Yeah,
it is.
That was pretty surprising for me because it's just kind of like all of a sudden on Twitter, I saw Sony say effective immediately, PS3 is $250, and that's an interesting way to announce something like that, and you know.
Well, it's your standard fare, like you know, elementary school, like. You know, recess time, like, hey, I did this. Oh, yeah, well, I can do it too type mentality. Like, you know, Nintendo right now, the Wii U's in the future, but now they're looking at their handheld 3DS. And, of course, you know, the Vita's not out yet, so Sony wants to do something to one-up that. I mean, it may be two separate different consoles, you know, one handheld and one's a home console. But, you know, we're coming across this very busy holiday season, a lot of big games, a lot of big stuff happening and everything. You know, they want to focus more attention to Sony product because, you know, the PlayStation 3 is also going to be very compatible with Vita when it comes out next year and also this year in Japan. So I think it's a rather smart move by Sony, and I am I'm not surprised by it one bit at all.
Okay. I'm not surprised that they dropped it. I just think that this is interesting timing and an interesting way to do it. Because they just basically said at Gamescom, "Hey, we're dropping the price, and it's effective now."
Yeah.
But I mean, I guess other places, other you know, they've done that. Well, I mean, I guess it's just because it's Gamescom, and we don't hear a lot of that stuff come out of Gamescom. Usually, hear it at E3 or something like that. But maybe that's why. But I don't know. It just felt unusual to me at first. But whatever, it's $250. That's good.
Yeah.
Speaking of Sony, they also said that they are bringing out a new model of the PSP. In Europe only. No, I agree. Who gives a shit? It's going to be $99, and they removed the Wi-Fi.
What? Huh?
Yeah, did you not hear about that? Mm-hmm. There's Wi-Fi.
I'm just going with it here. What? Tell us more.
But I guess my problem with this is, why would you even do this? It's like, why? The PSP is already $130, right? Isn't that how much it is right now?
Something like that.
Why not just drop it to 99? Why do you need to make another one?
Well, dig a little deeper. What would be the absolute major necessity for this to even happen? And my question is, why would it even need to happen in Europe? Like, you would think a brand new looking console, it would go in Japan first or anything, but it's not even touching Japan. It's Europe only as of right now. And I don't understand what the, like, did they not get the PSP Go at all? So, like, they wanted to do some sort of really, really cheap iteration of the PSP in Europe or something?
It's
like,
dumb because, I mean, I can understand, okay, the Vita's coming out. That's like, sell some PSPs, get the stock out there, whatever, do whatever. But when I heard that they took out features and stuff, I'm like, so they're basically putting out a brand new console to sell for $99, or not console, or like handheld, whatever you want to call it. It just doesn't make sense to me at all, in any way. Like, I mean, Wi-Fi is not. Wait, if they, I don't know. Do you guys actually use your Wi-Fi a lot for your PSP?
I do, but that's because I actually visit the PSN store on my PSP. But I mean, I and the thing is that you don't necessarily need the Wi-Fi because you can always just use PlayStation, or what's the Go program that they've got on PC. They have a program on PC where you can visit the PSN store and you can basically transfer things over to your PSP. Media Go, that's it.
Oh, okay.
The Media Go program. So they can, I mean, you can still do shit that way, but I don't know. It still seems pointless to me because it's only a $30 price drop, and Wi-Fi is not expensive.
No. And the Vita's coming out. Why don't they just drop it across the line, $99?
Yeah, I think that this new iteration of the PSP was a waste of R&D. I really do.
Agreed.
All right, let's move on. Let's talk about some better stuff.
Please.
So Nintendo, speaking of dropping features, Nintendo is putting out a slim Wii in Europe, and it's dropping GameCube support.
I don't get it. Like, what the fuck are they doing, dog? Like, what are they doing?
It's like the who gives a shit fucking news segment.
It is. It's just
may as well be.
It's the I have no fucking idea what they're thinking newscast right now. Because it's like the Wii is a GameCube. Why would you just remove that? Why would you remove support for that?
Well, I'm not going to lie. Like, have you guys played a fucking GameCube game on your Wii?
I have, yeah. Eternal Darkness says hi.
Well, yeah, that was recent, though. That was in like the last like few months, right?
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Well, isn't that
last month?
Isn't that a better point? Is that
no,
he did it recently?
But I mean, he did do it recently, but I mean, I think the majority of people out there, it's going to come down to whether or not this is costing Nintendo money. If it was costing them money to have the GameCube backwards compatibility in there, chances are the majority of people are not using that anyway, so they can take it. But I mean, if it doesn't really cost a lot of money, then I don't see the point of taking it out.
The only difference that I can think of is that the DVD drive might be different because it could read the GameCube discs. That's the only thing that I can think of. Because the hardware is, I mean, it's not much different. It's like basically the same.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
The only thing that I can see that would make any type of sense at all. I'll actually have 2 points. Well, 1 point, any type of sense that would make with this is that any accessories that you buy or anything that you would use to play the games on with the Wii without the GameCube support and everything, that would tell me that, okay, it's still smart because when you get the Wii U, you can use all those accessories. So you're not totally throwing your money away, especially if you haven't adopted the Wii yet. All right. So that makes a little more sense.
People.
Yeah, that makes a little bit more sense, all right? And then also, to me, I think this solidifies that there will be absolutely no GameCube support at all for the Wii U.
Oh, I think we knew that already, didn't we?
It was never confirmed, but I think this pretty much guarantees it.
Yeah. Well, the other thing that they could be doing, the other thing that I'm sure helps is that they, don't know this for sure because I haven't seen actual shots of the system, but I would think that if they removed GameCube support, that there's no ports for GameCube controllers anymore.
Right.
So even for the Wii, you can't use GameCube controllers. Whereas right now, like, I can plug in a GameCube controller for my Wii and use it for, you know, whatever Wii game uses the classic controller, for instance. So.
Just attach those Nintendo accessories. Classic controller in the bag.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No kidding. All right, let's get to some better news.
you said that last time.
I know, but I was trying to stay on the, hey, we removed dumb
so
shit.
So the developer got
tip.
Shut down, and you know what?
Hey,
Skyward
Sword releases on November 20th.
Okay,
that's kind of cool.
That's cool.
That's all right.
I'll believe when I see it.
Yep.
And speaking of Zelda, Four Swords is going to hit the 3DS eShop in September.
What is up?
Ooh,
did I mention it's free?
Yeah. Oh, it is free.
It's free.
Look at that. Chris providing the news, laying it down straight.
The only issue that I see is...
Can we play online?
No, you can't play online.
Oh.
But it's free. It's who cares?
So it's a multiplayer game for free that I'm not going to have no one to play it with.
I don't get that mentality.
Get some friends, dude.
I don't get that mentality, man. Excitebike, it's free. It still sucks, but it's free.
Excitebike's fun.
It's not fun, dude. Excitebike sucks. It does not hold up at all. But Legend of Four Swords will hold up. And
yeah, but it's fun with four people.
Yeah, and go out and get some friends, Jeff. Sorry.
I have them, but they're fucking scattered across Toronto. Like, hey, guys, you want to come over and fucking, you know, pat each other's butts and play some Four Swords in my living room? It doesn't
sounds good
work
to me,
that
man. Let's
way
go.
Anymore. Like, fuck you, man. No, let's play some Call of Duty.
Dude, bro. Well, I think this is really cool, and I think
it's
this is
definitely cool. I'm not gonna shit. It's a cool free. It's a free. It's get.
Oh yeah, it's
good
a free
game,
game,
and it's good. Yeah. But realistically, I will probably never ever unless when's it coming out? You said September.
They said September. Yeah.
All right. Well, maybe we'll play it during Indus Fest. How about that? That'll be like the only time we'll ever be able to play this thing multiplayer.
There you go. but yeah, still free. That's good. I'm wondering if this is actually one of the 20 games. Or if this is just free for everybody, because then, if it's free for everybody, then
they can
must
get away
be...
with both at this point. They could have been planning it for free the entire time, and they could be like, oh, shit. Well, it's one of the free games now that you're going to get.
Yeah, no kidding.
Hey, I'll take it. Whatever.
So we were talking about El Shaddai earlier, and we were talking about character action games, and we brought up Ninja Gaiden. And so Ninja Gaiden 3 is coming out soon.
Yeah, and I don't know how I feel about that. But
there's you might feel a lot better about it now.
Oh, really?
Because apparently Ninja Gaiden 3 is going to support PlayStation Move.
Yes!
Get the fuck out.
Hell yes. swing that dildo wand like crazy, like a sword, because it's going to be awesome.
Start taking like a Twitch base, like, you know, really deep mechanically. You got to have crazy ass ninja like reflexes, character action game, where it's almost like as deep as like a fighting game, if not more in some ways. And they're going to make this playable with the move.
That is correct.
I don't. You're gonna have like a you're gonna get fucking carpal tunnel after playing one chapter.
Well, from my understanding, you have to do backflips and shit too.
Oh fuck, for real?
Yeah, no.
Sweet. That's gonna I don't know. I was gonna lead into something there, but you screwed it up. So keep going.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's okay.
That's karma from last week.
So I guess we'll just do what we did last week and say
who gives a shit.
We pick on Kinect all the time. It's time we picked on Move a little bit too.
Done the moves.
I don't want this in Ninja Gaiden. I just don't.
Right.
And I bet that, you know, I know how big Scott is on Ninja Gaiden, and I'm sure that and Necro too. I'm sure that they're both sitting there looking at this type of new story and be like, what the fuck?
To be honest, have you guys seen the videos for the game? It doesn't even look that good. It looks, yeah, I don't know.
They're toying. What, you're not liking it?
No, it's like, it looks like it's very mashy now. Like the whole, they want to make the game feel like you see what it feels like to take a sword and cut through someone's bones and stuff. So I was like, okay, God. I remember talking to Scott this, like, we're worried that, what are you going to do? Like button mash to get through like someone's bone? And then the videos came out with the gameplay, and that's exactly kind of what it looks like.
Oh, really?
Where it's like, you're fighting and you hit like a, you'll get like the end of a combo, and then the game kind of slows down. And you kind of like mashing a button or whatever, and then to slice it through someone's bone and cut off their leg or whatever, like cut off their head or their fucking arm or something. And like, that's not Ninja Gaiden. Ninja Gaiden is not about slowing down stuff. It's like fast action, like nonstop.
Right.
Yeah, I'm not digging that.
Matrix bullshit, I'm not digging that at all.
Who knows? You know, hopefully it'll be like,
I still haven't played 2 yet.
Is that even
yet,
this year or is that next year?
I think it's next year.
Is it next year?
Okay. I think so.
2 is actually really good. Get Sigma, though. I should have taken Scott's advice. Like, yeah. Fucking last year or 2 years ago, whenever I got 2. Because it's cheaper on 360, but it is, dude, there's so many annoying parts that he just said, yeah, they totally took that out of the 360 version. Yeah. Told you, should have got Sigma. I'm like, fuck.
Can I sneak in a little bit of football news in here, too?
Hell yeah, do go.
Yeah, apparently Sony and DirecTV had teamed up, and they're bringing the NFL Sunday Ticket to the PlayStation 3.
Cool.
The PlayStation blog kind of released the information from Gamescom, and they said people who don't currently have access to DirecTV, even if they don't have the dish, they'll be able to subscribe to it via the PS3 for the season price of what DirecTV people have to pay, and it's $339.95. So 340 clams. And they can have access to it. Now, if people already have DirecTV and have the Sunday Ticket, it's just an additional $50 to use the PS3 as functionality, and you can use it within the PlayStation itself and everything, and it'll deliver all the games in full HD for every football game. It's actually really, really cool and everything like that.
Why would you have to pay another $50 if you already subscribed to it?
That's the weird thing. Like, if I were a DirecTV member that had that service, I would be pretty pissed that I'd pay more money to it. Apparently, the UI is pretty slick. There's no word on whether or not you'd be able to watch the games afterwards, like maybe save it or like check a backlog of games and everything, since it's kind of like maybe you have the ability to save it to a hard drive or something. None of that's been announced. Maybe there's more. I mean, they would, to me, to add more money to it, to charge people who already have it more money, they would have to add more features. Like if you have to miss a game, you can save it to your hard drive or something, or stream it later.
My thing is, if you already have DirecTV and you have NFL Sunday Ticket, why would you pay the extra to watch it on? Why would you watch it on your
PS3
anyway?
That's true. Why would you want it on your PS3?
Why would you even bother? It doesn't make any sense. It's like, it's exactly like my situation with Netflix.
If Netflix was already built into your TV or into like whatever, and then you had it streaming through one of your consoles instead.
Exactly. It's like, I get Netflix off of my TiVo. I don't have to change anything to get to my Netflix queue. So why the fuck would I turn on my PS3 or my 360 and watch Netflix?
It doesn't make any sense.
Let's see. I'm doing a little math here. I'm going to divide 340 by 16. So if I go to a bar and I spend under $21.25, I've already spent less money than DirecTV. So $21.
Are you also having delicious fucking nachos and chicken wings? And
usually wings and everything. But I have to keep my budget under $21.25. And then I've saved money compared to DirecTV. And I get to be in a bar, which is always fun.
Yeah. But, well, the one thing I would say about that is, you can at a bar too, so never mind. I was going to say, you get pretty much, don't you get every game on Sunday Ticket?
If you go to a bar, you probably do.
If you go to a bar, you pretty much ask them to.
Yeah, they probably have Sunday Ticket. So, yeah, I'm with you.
That's a good point. So for 21-something, you know what, Travis? I'd much rather be like, hey, guys, you want to, you know, we'll all put in together, we'll pay like $65, go to a bar, that's our budget, and we're going to watch a football game and drink some wings and eat some beer.
Drink some wings, eat some beer.
Yeah, sounds good. Drink some beer and eat some wings, and I'd probably much rather do that than.
There you go.
Yeah.
Cool. That's hey, is any other news before we take a break?
I am tapped out.
I don't think so.
Cool. Let's take a break.
When
we get back, we will talk about online network features and which ones are worth paying for. And then we'll do new releases, listener email,
NFL
and
Sunday Ticket.
New releases, listener email, and a new question of the week. We'll round out the show, so stay with us, and we'll be right back.
Hi.
It's your boy, Double O Rican, with a special interactive distraction announcement. Dropping this fall from Indes, Chris, Jason, Jeff, and Travis want you to do it one more game for the
2011.
That's right, Indes Fest.
Third strike.
So keep your ears unlocked to Interactive Distraction every week for further details. Rican Fest!
Trace.
And welcome back.
You're welcome back.
Last week we talked a little bit about some of the new features that went into the PlayStation 3 with the new firmware.
Very true.
And how they were all the good ones were a part of PS Plus. So this week we are talking about basically online network features and which ones are worth paying for and which ones we think should be free. You guys gave us quite a bit of feedback on this one, so I'm going to pass it off to Travis and let him read some emails.
All right. The first one comes from a always welcome regular, Mr. Sean Recupido. He says, what exactly is worth playing for as far as PSN and Xbox Live go? Well, I definitely don't think what Xbox Live offers besides online gaming would compel me at all to pay. Really, you have to pay extra just to use Netflix, which doesn't use Microsoft servers or really any of their resources. Hulu or ESPN? Don't pay for Hulu Plus, and I get ESPN on my TV. Honestly, they just keep taking crap on just to justify them charging you, but none of it is really, really worth it. They are just holding me hostage so I can just play games online. On the other hand, I think Sony has got the right idea with PlayStation Plus. I've gotten more than my money's worth easily with PS Plus. Every 2 weeks, there are two or three free games that I can download and play. Now I have such a backlog of games that when the Vita comes out, I will have no shortage of stuff to play on it. As far as other stuff like cloud saving and auto-downloading is nice, but I wouldn't pay for that. Honestly, if my PS3 hardware crashes, that sucks, but it wouldn't be the end of the world if I lost a game save. You actually get something for your money with Sony. As far as Microsoft is concerned, isn't it just peer-to-peer? What the fuck? I could understand if they were using their own servers, but that being said, my Live account hasn't really lapsed yet since I've gotten the 360. So basically, he's saying he pays for it.
Oh, was that it?
So,
okay. Yeah.
Oh, so who is this? This is from
Sean Recupido. Sean Recupido.
Sean Recupido.
Well, I guess that's the one to get out of the way. I mean, is it worth paying for online gameplay? I guess that's a big question.
This is the thing. Like, we wanted to avoid the whole PSN versus Xbox Live.
Yeah, and I agree. We should.
But I mean, okay, no, I would say that it's not worth it to pay for it because online gaming is free everywhere else. So no. But like you said, Microsoft does like basically hold you hostage because that is their big like carrot on the stick. Like that's the main thing you pay for. That being said, everything else you get with that he said they shuttle in there just to justify the price. I think that stuff is worth paying for when you compare it to other services because the whole like cross game chat thing I use. Some people won't use it. Some people won't have any interest in using it. But I literally use that almost every time I'm on my 360. That works. I mean, of course, the Netflix stuff that you don't. That's kind of that should be on silver as well, I guess. But
I agree.
And the fact that everything is, it's not necessarily like features. It's the fact that everything's consistent on the service. There's not like when playing Marvel vs. Capcom or like 2 on PSN. Voice chat works fine. You can have like 5 people in the lobby, everything's fine. But play Street Fighter 4, if you have any more than two people, it's not fine. So is that something like, and that's something that wouldn't change whether or not you have PSN Plus or regular PSN.
Right. That's the thing. It's like, oh, so you have to think about it. This is the way I think about it when I think of online gameplay. It's like I think about the experience of actually playing online and if that is worth it. And, you know, with the features that are included, for, you know, like, as you said, there's a universal, voice chat system. Every game has voice chat. It's the same across the board. The party chat always works. So from that standpoint, I do think that that's worth paying for.
Yes, that sounds like if they were to say Xbox, say, you know what, playing games online is now free. You can get that with Silver. I would still probably pay for Xbox Live for the other features that it does have. And I mean, PSN is going that same route. I mean, that's why this is now a topic, because they added in the whole what's it called? Because the cloud saving was before that. The trophy syncing.
Yeah.
Like that's something
that is completely not worth it.
It's not. But that's something they're trying to put into their pay service. Exactly like Sean Recupido said,
to shovel stuff
to make it look like it's worth it. Because before that, really what you're paying for PSN Plus was discounts, were basically coupons for PSN games or PSN content.
And free PSN
content. Free PSN content. Well, yeah, but it's all, it's all older stuff that if you don't already have as a gamer, you're probably not going to wait till it's free. And right. Except for that one time, what's called, it was day one, stacking.
Stacking was day one.
I mean, Comic Zone was this month. Like, really? Like, I mean, I got it because it was free, because I didn't have it. Although I already have it on Genesis Collection, but I was like, yeah, it's free. Why not? But I would not pay for PSN Plus to have games that are on the Genesis be free.
Right.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like they do give you the free games, but, well, first of all, you only have the free games as long as you're a PS Plus member.
That's true.
And second, it's a situation where most of the things that they give you free are, you know, older stuff or minis or, you know, just
or
games that you
don't. Expansions of stuff that already
exists. And a lot of the things that they give you for free are ploys to get you to buy shit. So they'll give you, like, I'm trying to remember what they were giving you.
Well, I just downloaded for free this month. It was that Commando game. But I thought it was the actual game. What was that? It came out on PSN like 2 years ago, maybe 3 years ago.
Crash Commando.
And I thought it was the free game. Just the expansion. So I downloaded it. It's the expansion. So I was like, oh, this doesn't do me any good. If I want to play this, I have to go buy the game.
Yeah, and that's what I'm getting at. They did that before. They gave like all the expansions for this one game out, and then they sold the game at maybe it was like $2 off or something like that. It's the fact that they're giving you free expansions is a ploy to get you to go and buy the game.
Yeah.
So, and I mean, that's fine, you know, I guess, because, you know, people who want it will go get it and people who don't still won't. Yeah. But, you know, I don't know. Part of me says that it's that part is worth it, and part of me says that it's more a marketing ploy.
Yeah.
It is more a marketing ploy. I mean, if you are paying for it for whatever, if you like those, if cloud saving and syncing up trophies is worth it to you as somebody who wants to pay for Xbox Live for cross game chat and like the party chats and all that kind of stuff, then all the power to you. You're getting your money's worth either way. But if you're, it's like one, you have to like the functionality of it to be worth it, and the other one, it's like Sony's going for the opposite. Like they're giving you more discounts and stuff where Microsoft doesn't do that. It's functionality versus discounted stuff. Like I'm not like PSN, like all the stuff for the what's it called?
Play
is all going to be discounted if you're a PS Plus member. And I got the 3 month PSN Plus thing. It hasn't run out yet, so that just made my decision on what platform I'm going to buy those games on. Just because of that. I'm going to save $4 or whatever, $3. But I still wish there was, like, I don't want to pay for, like, once my membership runs out, I don't want to pay for cloud saving because I really have not used it. And I don't really care about trophy synchronization. I think that should be like a standard.
That's the thing. It's like, that's one of the things that really brought this topic to my mind is because the fact that like automatic update stuff, that should be part of it. It just in general, it should just be part of it. You know, that should be part of PSN. You shouldn't have to pay extra for that. It's like, if you have, you know, you should have the ability, anybody should have the ability to say, I want my system to turn on at this point, look for updates, grab them, and then turn off. I don't think that's a big deal.
Because it's not taking up bandwidth or anything. Like, at first, my original idea was going to be, well, you know, it's the same thing we said about Xbox Live with their cross-game or party chat. That should be available to everybody, like anyone, even a Silver member. But if you're not paying for the online, which is, again, something I don't think you should be paying for, well, in general, if you're not paying for that, you're not going to really have people to play with online anyway. And also, that's a bandwidth thing, like having all those people in the chat room. So it's kind of like, that's like functionality. So I'd pay for that, but I wouldn't pay for stuff like demos. Like, I hate how Xbox Live Gold, they get like, and I mean, I guess PSN does it to an extent too, but when they do like, hey,
demos,
get
this
demo a week early, or it's like exclusive for a while, or betas or whatnot, because that's just another way of, it's like a marketing play, like you said, to get people to start paying for a service where you're not getting functionality out of that service, you're just getting a little perk on something that you're giving them.
You know, should be free. I get what you're kind of saying, that you shouldn't be paying for little things like that. And Sean, going back to his email, he was like, well, I don't believe, you know, paying for, you know, Hulu or ESPN, because that's on TV and stuff like that. Well, here's break it down to brass tacks, and this break it down to dollars and cents, man. Fuck, it's $5 a month. Okay, it's not expensive.
Either
at
one
all.
Isn't expensive.
It's $5 a month. Okay, Hulu you got to pay a little extra for. Netflix you have to pay a little extra for. ESPN comes free on it. You get all your cross game chat. You get all that good stuff. All right, but in Microsoft's defense, it's only five extra bucks to have ESPN on your TV. That's way more than $5 a month. Anywhere you go. Okay, so I have no problem whatsoever. Paying that much money just to play online games or download demos, because it, whatever service gives me that almost that one stop shop for everything that I want to do. Aside from new TV shows that come on, like I never watch TV. Like aside from if it wasn't for HBO, I would not have cable. Simple as that. And now HBO Go is going to be coming to the system soon and everything. So I mean that's going to be even more of an incentive and everything. But you have to have HBO to use HBO Go. So I still have to keep HBO. But regardless to that fact, like I like the idea of having a one-stop shop. So it's easy to say, why we shouldn't pay for this. It's so easy to say that. It's a little respectfully, I say this to Sean, but it is kind of like that sense of entitlement that some people have. I shouldn't have to pay for that. Well, you know what? It's the new age. Yes, we should be paying for this type of stuff. It's a service. There's a lot of cool stuff with this service. They're constantly adding stuff. Constantly, we're going to be getting UFC on Xbox Live. That's fucking awesome. You know that's really really cool. And you know, if you have to pay a little extra here and there, so be it. It's fine. Guess what? When the Xbox 720 comes out, Xbox Live's probably going to be $70 a month. It's probably going to go up. You know, so I don't have a problem paying for it. And even then, I wouldn't have a problem paying for it, because when you break it down to a monthly payment, it's the cheapest bill you have in your life.
Anything,
it's just your cheapest bill. So it's not that much of a problem, in my opinion. So,
but before we go on, we hit another email, because we could probably get knock this whole feature out in that one.
Sure, probably. But hey, guys, Alex Hedges, a.k.a. Hedges1001, he says, I personally think that extra content in a service – like discounts or cloud saves, for example, should be paid for as extras, because that is what they are. On the flip side, however, things like auto-syncing them chivos should not be paid for, because it serves not only the customer but the service provider to have us up-to-date information from people partaking of the service. Chivo data is used by ad companies to market relevant games.
He's actually saying chivos.
Okay. If everyone scored some Battlefield 3 achievements, Battlefield 3 achievements, then that in part would lead to more first-person shooters being advertised for or on that service. I hope that's clear. Hedges 1001 out, and he says, "P.S. Fuck Stage 6-2 and Catherine."
Yeah, I saw him beat that game. Yeah, I get it. I think I agree. And what bugs me more is like the syncing stuff is literally something that I bet you was supposed to be there day one, or they just didn't know how to do it. Now they figured out how to do it, and people want it, they throw it in there. And that's the cloud saving totally makes sense. That's something that wasn't done really on a console.
Yeah, I can see paying for that.
Yeah, that's something that you want to pay for. But syncing trophies is something that literally, like, this was a feature on the, like, trophies is supposed to be like, when they introduced trophies, it was being like every game. And the reason why it doesn't sync up is because they didn't have the infrastructure to do it. It had nothing to do with, like, if they did, it would be done from day one. It wouldn't be thought of putting in. Like, oh, wow, a lot of people want this.
Yeah, and about obviously they the still don't.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like that now. It's, oh, yeah, it does it like when, you're, like when your system's off, doesn't it? Or something like that?
No, it does it, when you do the automatic update. So when you tell your system to turn
to
on
whatever.
And do whatever updates, grab whatever updates you want, then it does the trophy syncing at that time. It's like, why is it not a background thing where it just does it automatically when you
that's
earn
the
them?
Thing, because it's something you can do on your own if you really want to before you go to bed. Boom, sync trophies, go to sleep, don't worry about it. That's fine. Turn off your system in the morning.
I will say this, though. Well, no, that's not necessarily true because you have to sync them on the – I was going to say that if you log in from another system, you don't have to like recover gamer tag. You just sync your trophies and you're done, but it's the same thing really.
Hey, let's be real with this, though.
Will
okay,
it have, though,
even
the other system?
Even Xbox Live Silver members get automatic syncing with their achievements. Yeah. All right, it's automatic.
The difference is the achievement system's saved online to begin with; it's not saved on the console. That's what I was going to ask Chris. Like, if I go to my other console, my PS3, is it going to know the achievement or the trophies I got on the other system?
You have to sync them.
Yeah, so but if I don't sync them, it's not going to know because it's saved to your
right.
hard drive. It's not
right,
saved on
exactly.
an online server.
Well, it's right. You have to sync them to get them on the server. That's
exactly.
my point.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. That's the big thing is where achievements
and that's the
are
thing with the achievements.
Like,
well, achievements does it. They do it both ways too because if you're offline, you can still earn achievements.
Oh, yeah.
And then when you go online,
on,
it syncs them. Right. And that's my point.
Though.
The second you log on, it syncs them automatically.
Yeah. No matter where you're going from, that's true. But I either that's still something that shouldn't be charged for either way. I mean,
I agree. I think it should be that's a retarded option. The automatic update in general, I think, should be a part of PSN. Period.
Mm-hmm.
It's all bullet points, dog.
Yeah,
it's
I know.
Pretty much,
I know.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna hit another. Why not? All right, I got our buddy Adventurine gonna drop one right on our heads.
Hey, he's coming to IndusFest.
What up?
What up?
In my day, we had a dial-up connection that allowed you to play 17 minutes of a text-based role-playing game a day before your mom picked up the phone and yell, "What's wrong with the phone? All I can hear is some high-pitched noise and beeping. Are you online again?" Anyway, among the features I would pay for are, one, multiplayer matchmaking that actually works. Number two, the ability to screen out homophobic preteens who have an unhealthy obsession with having sex with other people's mothers, cursing, and testicles. Number three, access to downloadable full games and demos. Number four, cross-game chat. And number five, the ability to order alcohol in-game and have it delivered straight to his mouth.
That would be awesome. I would pay for that.
I would pay for that, too.
He also adds a few features that he thinks this should be free. He says, avatar customization. I think having to pay for virtual clothes for a virtual person
True.
Just because they have some stupid brand name on them is redonk. Number two, having any type of video streaming service I already pay for, like Netflix or Hulu Plus. Why should I have to pay for this again? Okay. Multiple
well,
user.
Not.
You're not. Yeah, I know. Number three. Really multiple usernames. Sometimes I don't want my friends to know I'm playing Madden or Borderlands online without them. That's all I can think of. See you at the 3rd annual Interactive Distractions Festival of Gaming and Debauchery.
Yeah.
Oh, and here's a logo you can use for your event. I'm sure it will bring up attendance, and it says Aventurine.
Awesome.
What was the last thing he said?
Well,
the
I want to comment on that because you're not paying extra for Hulu and Netflix and stuff like that. It's just basically, if you're already paying for Xbox Live, it's just included in that. Like, if you're the person who isn't subscribed to Xbox Live and then Netflix comes out on it and you say, oh, I don't want to pay extra for that, well, then that's not really the way that they're, like, enticing people to get Xbox Live.
It's,
like
it's $5 a month to have it all as a one-stop shop on your system. I think that's totally worth it.
Yeah, and totally. I mean, the big thing is that they have the advantage over Sony, unfortunately, is the online, which I think is the one thing that you should not have to pay for. It just happens to be the thing that makes it justifiable to most people.
Right.
And it just comes with all the extra stuff that you're already paying anyway. It's not like when they did up the price this year for the first time in like 5 years, but it's not like every time they come out with a new feature, they're upping the price. And it's not like for PSN when they bring out a new feature, they're upping the price of PSN Plus.
Right.
They're just trying to stack it up as much as possible. The only problem is, I really think outside of cross-game chat, there's really nothing that really, really would get people to bite, like, for years on end for an online system on consoles except for online play, which sucks because it's you know, it's the thing that driving Xbox Live, and it's also the thing that kind of, I can't really say shoots it in the foot, because it's not, they're doing well, but it's the one thing that people hate that they charge for. But yeah. It's the thing that Sony's looking for, so I can see where Sony's coming from. Anything they want to add to it, you have to put on PSN Plus, because we have to get people to subscribe. We need some revenue from this, basically. Yeah. And they don't want to go back on their word. They don't want to go back and be like, hey guys, we have to charge for online, because they said from the beginning they will never do that.
Yeah, and they're really good about doing I think it was the first email from Sean that said that a lot of it is a lot of it on 360 is peer to peer, you know.
Yeah.
And PSN has been pretty good about having the first party games have servers, their own servers.
Yeah, true, but it's still everything else is still peer to peer. I mean, the last few. Well, I mean, Gears 3 is going to be on dedicated servers. There's also a couple other games that are on dedicated servers that no one played. I can't remember what they were.
Yeah.
Xbox, but they were like third-party games. But yeah, that comes down to the developers. That has nothing to do with Microsoft and Sony. That comes down to whoever making the game. And I mean,
right.
Microsoft really don't have dedicated servers for much stuff because they really don't have any first-party developers that they own anymore. I mean, Reach is not on dedicated servers, but comparatively to Halo 3, it seems like it's way smoother. But, I mean, it's nice to play a game like Killzone or Resistance to have dedicated servers, like, all the time.
Yeah.
Definitely. That's definitely something that's worth paying for, I think. If Sony were to say, hey, if you're going to be on PSN online on PS3 and it has to be dedicated servers, boom, that would signed up. I'd pay for that every month, for sure.
I'm with you. Actually, and just to kind of, like, rewind and go back to Netflix, also remember with the 360 version of Netflix, with that all that money you're spending to have Netflix that you're already paying for as well, it's also the only version of Netflix that you can actually watch with a group of people while you're online.
That is true.
So, there are other options, you know, there to say, well, there's more value in that, so you pay the little extra money for it, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe our buddy Mark Croxon, we'll jump in here and just
maybe
we just seem to be like just totally happy with paying it. Maybe this guy will drop some knowledge on us and give us a reason to say, you know what, it's not right. He says, hey, and this is about time for me to send in another question of the week response. So here goes. Since this topic seems to be sparked from the latest PS3 update, I'll start there. Auto-syncing trophies should be a free service, and to be honest, it shouldn't even be a service that should be advertised. It seems to me that it just should be a feature. It's pretty far down the list of, quote, features people will purchase for the PS3 4, and even with its current implementation, it's pretty frickin' weak. As I understand it, they only update once per day. Is it that tricky to sync every troph as you get to them? God, I got everybody else doing it. It's terrible. As for the audio cloud save feature, I think that should be paid for, seeing that it usually it's using Sony's infrastructure and is a quite nice service as far as backups go. The big feature I would actually like to see made a paid for service on the PSN is online play. But with that must come quality. If it's a quality service, I would happily shell out some cash to have a good time online. There is another console out on the market that does this well, but shall remain unnamed. Smiley winky face. Anyways, thanks for the podcast, guys, and I'll see you in 8 weeks.
What up?
Yeah. Who is that from?
I don't see an online handle anywhere. It's Mark Croxon.
The name sounds extremely familiar.
Not sure, but while we think, I'll jump to JG92 up in this bitch. He says, hey guys, I'm going to keep this email short and sweet for once and simply say, anything that takes up server space should cost. Anything that doesn't should be free. For instance, online play should be free. It's the games that should charge, not the console. However, cloud saves and cloud anything should cost, as you are using the company's servers and they require work. Some people should be paid for that. Also, stuff that doesn't require any work from a Sony, Microsoft, or Nintendo employee, such as automatic updates, should be absolutely free. To sum up, free stuff should be stuff that is in the console. Paid stuff should only be paid if you access it and it is service-based. Just saying, you caught me off guard there thinking this was a simple question, but was actually hard to think of something up. Winky face with a tongue sticking out.
Then he typed
and he actually typed that out.
Yeah, he actually typed that out.
That's perfect. That's awesome.
Love you, beautiful man, as always. JG 90 Deuce.
Thanks, JG. That's pretty much exactly what I was thinking. Like, that's, yeah.
Yeah, both of those emails.
If it doesn't take up server space, if it doesn't involve some kind of back-end work on Sony or Microsoft, it really should not be charged for. And that's the big thing. Like, the thing with Microsoft, again, because everything, most stuff is peer-to-peer, they really don't have anything to do with the actual online functionality of games, other than the in-thing matchmaking thing, which doesn't really work, so. I don't think any matchmaking really works. It's kind of, pointless on any game.
Really? You're gonna say the matchmaking on Halo doesn't work?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. If you get, like, because you're always gonna have people who are way more, okay, say like me and you who don't play often, we get on there with people who do. They're like level, there's no numbers.
Oh, so you're talking about being like grouped up with people against you that are just like far superior and higher ranked.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay,
sure.
I'm just thinking of connectivity and like the how secure the online is.
Oh, no, connectivity is amazing. I'm talking about the actual like matchmaking of getting people of the same skill together to fight.
You know, that doesn't bother me. I'll pwn a bitch any day. I don't care what their rank
is. It doesn't. I'm just saying it just doesn't work. I don't care. It doesn't say whether it bothers me or not. I'm just saying I don't think that's something that, as long as people are playing with their friends that are all different skill levels, which most of the time they are, you're never really going to have a match that is perfectly balanced.
Nah, give me Johnny as a boy on my team, and I'll take on anybody. I don't care.
Then the other team's gonna be like, "Fuck that team! This is unbalanced. They match up with people who are too good."
Well, fuck those guys. They suck. So, all right, we have one final email, and it's from our good friend of the show, Nate, aka Shadow Hato. So you want to know what online features should be paid for, huh? Well, let's start by looking at online games as we know it. When PC games first went online, there were no additional fees. Because of this, a lot of people nowadays will argue that you shouldn't have to pay for online gaming, talking to friends, etc. Steam was released around the same time as Xbox Live, and it did more than Xbox Live at the time, and it did it for free. Today, Steam continues to do pretty much everything Xbox Live does, and again, it does it for free, so why should we pay for Xbox Live or any other gaming services? When Xbox Live first came out, paying for it was okay, but because we were probably playing for the dedicated servers for everything, and there was no advertising, no XBLA, no Zune Marketplace, nothing. Fast forward 8 years and you have a service that makes money hand over fist from advertising, digital sales, game DLC, and XBLA purchases, movie rentals, etc., etc., etc. They say they charge you for cross-game chat, online gaming, and the ability to use other companies' apps. Wait, what? You know damn well those companies already have to pay to put their app on the Xbox Live Marketplace and dashboard. And as for online gaming, that's controlled simply by whether or not the developer puts it in the game, not by Microsoft. Friends list and messaging have been done by Steam on PC since before Xbox Live even existed. So that leaves cross-game chat. You're telling me we're paying a freaking $60 a year for cross-game chat? Now, there's no way Microsoft is hurting for money and needed to increase the cost of Xbox Live. Sure, I've long defended the service and I think it's the best console service out, but look at Steam. What makes them so different? So what if it's a PC service that everyone has one? I have to buy an Xbox from Microsoft, so they've already started to take money from me on that initial transaction. Aren't they already making money off of me by overpricing proprietary accessories I shouldn't normally need? And when I buy games at the store, and then they make even more money from all the stuff they sell on Xbox Live, and they get a cut of everything. If you ask me, they got hella greedy, and this is all to pay for their fuck-up with the Xbox 360 launch. That's all I got. Thanks for reading my email, and have a great show. Nate, a.k.a. Shadow Hato.
Thanks, Nate.
Okay, the one thing I will say about the price increase is that from what I heard, they were getting pressured by third parties to get some cash from that.
Oh, yeah?
That's one of the reasons that they increased the price.
That was the word on the street?
That's what I heard. I don't know if it's confirmed.
Activision was probably one of the main. I would just say this. They didn't raise the fucking price for more than 5 years. Inflation alone would be more than $5 or $10, whatever it was.
Absolutely.
They raised it. It's not that big of a deal. It's like they didn't raise it. They could have raised it every year and been like, hey, it's going to be new, higher this year. But they kept it the same. But, I mean, I don't think that's – people kind of – whine, complain. I mean, dude, that's the price we were paying, like, from the beginning in Canada. So it's like, suck a dick, guys.
Eat a big one. No, see, and I'm going to go back to my original thing that I said before. I just don't see the problem. It's easy to say $60 for cross-game chat. Well, when we were talking about when PS Plus was still a well, not even brand new. It was still a rumor, like a possible pay sub. Yeah, yeah. What was the one thing we say we would be okay paying for? Cross-game chat. Yeah. So, I mean, like, that's the one thing everybody was saying. If it gets cross-game chat, I'll pay for it. So now we're all paying for it, still no cross-game chat, but we're okay with it.
It is. Steam is awesome. I actually wish, like, Steam is, like, good. That is probably the best, like, online service overall. But it's not without its problems. Again, my thing comes down to, again, the whole, like, the consistency of everything. And I don't play too many PC games, but every time I do play PC games that are multiplayer, almost everyone prefers to do Skype rather than the Steam chat.
Right.
Because it works and it's consistent. And that's something that I like on Xbox Live, where if I'm doing party chat, I'm doing all that stuff, I know it's going to be consistent. It's going to work. Like, it's not on a game-to-game basis. Mm-hmm. And Steam is... it can't be. I mean, he's right. Like, Shadowhead was right. Like, I mean, Microsoft is taking people to the cleaners. It's like, it's a cash cow. They make like millions upon millions and millions of dollars a year off Xbox Live.
Right.
And why would they stop when people are going to keep paying for it?
Absolutely.
And Steam is a great, great like thing to compare it to. And Steam does a lot of things better, like most things better. But it's also PC, and consoles have never like followed the PC's footsteps when it comes to stuff like this, like ever. Dreamcast was, but the first online, I guess, well, Saturn was the first online system, right?
Saturn.
Not counting PCs, I guess.
No, I mean consoles. I'm talking like consoles. Yeah, so Saturn. And even Dreamcast was free, but they had SegaNet, which is kind of like a online type service.
Was that stuff before or after the PS2 when it got it? When it got the network adapted?
PS2. Okay, it was. That was way before. Yeah, because I mean, yeah, Fantasy Star.
Yeah, but then, I mean, that's the thing. It's like the Netlink adapter on the Saturn. I mean, nobody ever used it.
Oh God, no, it did. Yeah, I've never had any.
I mean, in my opinion, the first real online piece was the broadband adapter for the PS2. And then shortly after that was Xbox Live.
Well, Dreamcast was first.
No, it wasn't. No, yes, Dreamcast, it was. Sorry. You're right.
Dreamcast
My bad.
Like a year before.
My bad. For some reason, I always associate Dreamcast with like whatever generation we're in. It's like Dreamcast was awesome. It's almost as good as the PS3. No,
true.
No.
Yeah.
Sorry.
But there was no, like, even when those came out, there was no service. It was basically you had the adapter, you played the games that were online. It was free after you bought the adapter, but there was no messaging service outside of the game. It was not like, and then Xbox Live came out in, what, 2005, I think? And that was, like, the first thing that was, like, a universal online system, like, friends lists, messaging, and all that kind of stuff. And then, yeah. And then I don't think you can really, as much as Steam does kick its ass, I don't think you're going to see Microsoft or Sony really follow in their footsteps and not charge for it. Because if, I don't know, people on PC game on their PC, and people who don't want to do that, they'll bitch about paying for Xbox Live or paying for PSN Plus, but they're still going to do it. Even though they know Steam's out there. Because you can't. You have no options on PC. I mean, you have no options on consoles. On PC, you can play your game, you can use any kind of chat, you can use fucking Ventrilo or whatever it's called, Ventrilo, mm-hmm. Skype, Steam, whatever, you can be MSNing people while playing games. You have a bunch of different options, but you don't have that on Sony or Microsoft consoles. So
right.
That's another thing where they have us by, you know, scruff of our neck, be like, you will pay for this and you'll like it.
But there are problems with having like an all free open platform like Steam, though, because Steam gets, you know, Steam kind of reinvigorated PC gaming, I guess you can say.
I'd agree with that, yeah.
Yeah, and but now you have... And with digital distribution, because of Steam being so huge now, you know, so kind of the now thing for PC gaming, you know, look at what, you know, EA's doing with Origin. And we're like, okay, well, we're not going to release their games on Steam anymore. We're going to do our own service, you know. So it's taking stuff from Steam and everything. And then you have, you know, even GameStop has Impulse coming out. So that's, you know, going to be taking more stuff from Steam. So I think... you're going to see Steam having to resort to some other options and everything. And they'll probably never, ever, ever, ever charge. But, you know, they need to probably do more sales or something like that, which, hey, cross your fingers because that'd be great. But I think Steam is kind of going to get bullied around because they're the guys who are actually doing it right. And the people who are doing things right and being just and giving giving the consumer the best possible situation, the best deal to where they can play their games, have fun on this open platform, and also on top of that, save a fucking buck. But they're the guys that are going to get kind of not pushed to the side, but kind of stomped by, you know, Big Brother because of the fact – well, not Big Brother, but like, you know, the big corporations, because they're not going to offer the really big games like their your Battlefields and other big EA titles and everything because of the fact that, well, they want their piece of the pie on that digital space. Yeah. So it's actually kind of not a good thing for Steam to be that open. You know, try to find a way to get a little exclusivity. You know, things like, you know, Xbox Live, it's brilliant. Like Summer of Arcade. Yeah, you, gold members can get these exclusive games that you can only get during the summer, you know, on Xbox Live. You know, give
well,
us
Silver
that carrot.
Can still get that too, though, right?
Can they?
Yeah.
Yeah, they can get that. Okay,
yeah, you can. Silver members can still download everything they want.
Okay, yeah, yeah, right.
Yeah. But anything you pay for, you can still get on Silver, which is, you know.
Right. So, but that's the end of the emails, guys. Any quick final thoughts?
For me, I think that it's just I agree with I don't know, I don't remember who said it, but I agree with a lot of the email, like the email that said, if you are using server space, you should, you know, that's good to pay for. You know, it's like cloud saving. I think that is a good yeah, service to pay for. I think that PS Plus, you're paying for discounts, and I think that's okay if you're up for that. I mean, that's more of a personal thing, I think. If you feel like you'll – go ahead.
I was going to say, sorry, just hold your thought for a second there just because you just mentioned it. It's funny because all of us said we'd pay for cloud saving, and the cloud saving is something that is free on something like Steam or on PC and a lot of those servers. So just to show you like how the console crowd is totally, when you look at value for what you're paying for online, are in totally different ballparks for the most part.
Yeah, but for those PC games, though, a lot of those really cool games, like, I mean, there's a lot of old games, too, but to play some really, really cool or really nice-looking games, your Witcher 2s, your Battlefield 3s, and games like that, you have to have a really, really nice – you have to put a lot more money into your PC than you would have to put into your, you know, a $200 Xbox nowadays.
Well, yeah, but that doesn't say it's the Valve that gets none of that money.
No, I understand. But as a consumer, the cost of entry is a little bit cheaper for like someone wanting to get PlayStation with
definitely
cloud saving. Yeah,
I don't see what you're trying to compare that to, though.
Well, I'm just saying, like, just as a consumer, going side by side, Steam, but a high end computer to play your favorite game, or play that same game on the PS3 with cloud saving. There's really like you're gonna save more money on the PS3. I'm just saying, as a computer, because if we're talking about the big thing is spending money.
Yeah, no. But what I'm saying is the reason why Sony and myself would spend money or charge money for something like this is because the money's going to them. Valve is this is something that Valve offers for free on their Steam system, and because Valve sees no matter how you spend $10,000 on a computer, you spend $500 on a computer, Valve sees none of that money.
Right.
They see whatever you download from their service, and it's just something that they get. I was just trying to make a comparison that. Almost everyone universally said cloud saving, yes. But PC people are probably like, they have to pay for that? Like, that's something we get for free.
It's the only software that I see as, like, well, it's the only, like, software distribution place that the way they, and it's awesome, it's great what they do, I love what they do, but all it is, it's one big marketing ploy. Because it's all free, guys. I mean, it's not all free, but like it's here. You don't have to pay anything extra. Just buy your games and play it here. Cloud saving, all that good stuff, and that's great. Mm-hmm. But it's a marketing ploy because what they're going to do is offer these great deals during the holiday season and during the summer, and you're going to spend a fucking arm and a leg buying a whole bunch of cheap shit, and that shit adds up. So they have to get a piece of that, right?
Well, no, they get a piece of that, but they don't get a piece of it. You don't have to download anything on Steam. That's my point. It's like Steam offers pretty much everything that Xbox Live offers for free. Steam offers pretty much everything that PSN Plus offers, the discounts and everything and all that kind of like sales and all that kind of stuff like that, DLC discounted price, whatever, for free. You don't have to have a subscription for it.
Right.
But they're offering this for free, but they get no – like you can have Steam. Steam is free. You don't have to buy anything off Steam. You can use Steam. You can run games you didn't even buy off Steam on Steam just to use the online service.
Right.
So that's what I'm saying is like, well, I'm not comparing and saying one is better. What I'm trying to say is this is why I think that the concept of pay for online is looked at differently from a PC consumer versus a console consumer. Because I think people on the Xbox side of things will say, well, we want cross-game chat, well, this is because of stuff that they're used to paying for and that they want. People on PSN be like, well, we don't think paying for online is worth it because we're not used to paying for online, but we would pay for cloud saving or discounts on games. People on PC will be like, why the fuck would I pay for anything to do with playing anything online or having any kind of anything that's functionality online or kind of service that's outside of like... No, well, they don't have to pay for anything. That's what I'm saying. I'm not really comparing the services. I'm comparing the people that are sitting in each camp. Is each one is going to have a different view of what they think is worth paying for. It's because what they're used to. Like someone with a PC, if they said PC burnt down, like, oh, I have to buy a console now, and they picked up an Xbox, they'd be like, the fuck, I got to pay for online? And I think they do the same thing for, I have to pay for PSN Plus so I can have discounts and stuff that they're selling. Like, Steam is always for free.
Well, I mean, okay, so to that extent... I mean, so does PSN. I mean, the PSN has sales that are outside of Plus. You know,
they do. Well, so does Xbox. So does Steam. Yeah, exactly.
Right. That's what I'm getting at.
Yeah, but Steam has that 100%. Like any sale or anything goes on sale on Steam, every single person who uses Steam has access to that. Whereas on PSN, you have to have PSN Plus for the majority of it. I mean, look at the whole Play thing. If you don't have PSN Plus, you're getting those games at $15.99 or $14.99, no matter what. So it's like, people who have Steam will think that's ridiculous to pay for something like that. People on Steam will think it's ridiculous to pay for something like online play on Xbox
Live. Well, yeah. And that right there, I think, is just from a situation where online gameplay was around a long time before Steam came out.
Oh,
and
totally.
It wouldn't make sense to start charging for something that's been free for years.
No, totally. But Steam also did other things, though. Like, when Steam came out around... Was it around the same time as Xbox Live? I don't know the exact year.
I don't remember.
Because, like I said, like this is one of the first... Xbox Live is one of the first services online. Like I said, friends list, messaging, all that kind of stuff. Steam, let's say for argument's sake, they put out the same year. They still offer everything that people are technically paying for in Xbox Live for free. So the argument of, are people saying, well, online's been free forever on PC. Yeah, but the whole concept of an online service has
but
not
they,
been.
But it's just thing. Gaming, it's like, though. It's just gaming.
What is?
And Steam couldn't charge for any of the stuff
Steam isn't just gaming, though. I'm not sure how much you've used Steam, Travis, but there's groups, there's different kind of chat rooms you can go into, there's crossing chat, there's all
that stuff. It's all grounded into gaming. Like, to me, you can't compare... What Steam does versus you can only compare it on a game on a gaming basis. You can't compare it to the total package. The total package of Steam being free and the total package of PSN or Xbox Live, either one of the two. All right, either one of the two. You can't compare them because
comparing the people that are in different camp, and you're proving my point right now. Because you're in a console, you're saying you can't compare them because one's on a pure gaming stamp. Okay, I'll finish what you're saying. But you're basically proving my point. I'm saying the people in each camp are going to view everything differently because it's what they're used to and what they're accustomed to.
Right.
The people on PC are not going to... They're going to think it's ridiculous to pay for any kind of online service, bar none, whether it's gaming, whether it's access to discounts or deals and sales. But in people in the opposite camps, so many fans are going to think it's ridiculous to pay for online... And then people in Microsoft's camp are going to say, well, you know what? It's ridiculous to pay for anything that doesn't have, like, cross-game chat or this, and that.
But I agree with that, but if Xbox Live was just a gaming platform, I better not be paying money for it. If it's just a gaming platform,
But it was just a gaming platform. And guess what?
Guess how much I paid for that? $0.
Well, that's fine. You didn't. That's what Jeff is saying. It's all dependent upon the person and what you expect. Yeah. It's like, for me, I don't use any of that shit on Xbox Live. I don't give a shit about that. If I have Xbox Live, it's because I am gaming online.
Online, yeah.
ESPN. I'm not going to use Netflix on
Steve
there.
Steve can never be like, hey, here's Netflix and here's ESPN, because Netflix you can get on a PC anyway. Just go.
That's the thing. It's like every service that they offer on Steam, outside of like the online gaming that's, centralized... they can't charge for anything because it's available free no matter in other places. It's like, yeah. Oh, well, you have a friends list. Okay. Well, I can have a friends list on AOL Instant Messenger. Okay. Yeah. Well, I have cross game chat. Okay. Well, I can pull up Skype.
Yeah.
So,
that's the thing,
and that's the point. It's like
options,
PC has,
options.
Right. PC has these, programs for so many other things that Steam just can't charge. Mm-hmm. So on the other hand, you know, Xbox Live can, and they do.
Yeah, and Sony is starting to get the hang of it. I think they're putting better things in there to pay for. But I mean, my biggest thing is consistency. Consistency is the best thing. I mean, I pay it on Xbox Live really because I have to.
But you don't have a problem with PSN.
Oh God, no! Because I think it's worth it for what I do with it.
Yeah, yeah, and
sure.
that's the thing. It's like the online service itself. As a whole, is worth it. Like the gaming, the online gaming experience is a better experience.
Oh, I will never bitch about paying for it ever.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Well, not, I won't say ever if it gets like ridiculous amounts of money.
Yeah, exactly.
But
I personally think the PSN has the better business model. You know, the online gaming is free, but we get some extra stuff for you. You have to pay for it. See, I don't mind that. Now, what that extra stuff is, some can be BS, some can be some generally good stuff. But I would totally have no problems whatsoever if that was a general model. Your gaming is free, like it always has been since the beginning of online gaming. You know, before Xbox Live came along, but everything else. But still, yeah, I'm with you. On the flip side, I don't have any problem paying my $5 per month. And I will never complain about it. And I honestly don't think anybody should complain
about it. Any kind of video game, if video game is like your number one hobby, that is something you really should not be complaining about unless you're really trying to like troll in an argument, because video games are expensive no matter what.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like when you break it down by month, and I mean, people say, well, it's $60 a month or whatever.
It's $5.
It's not 60. And also go on Amazon. They have deals all the time.
All the time.
And I mean, Chris, didn't you like re-up for like 3 years or something like that?
As soon as they announced that they were raising the price, I went and bought another 12-month
pass.
That's
what you did. Yeah.
And it was like $40 when I bought it or something like that or $35. Yeah. And actually, I've got the card still sitting on my coffee table, and my Xbox Gold just ran out. So, you know, the way I do it is when it runs out, I just wait until I'm about to play another online game, and that's when I type in the code.
You know, you can hold up to 3 years on your Xbox subscription.
But I'm not playing any games online right now, so why waste the code right now when I can put it in when I start playing?
Hey, do your thing.
Yeah,
hey.
So it makes sense, yeah. I don't know. Yeah. It's just whatever. I like both services, but I prefer... I mean, a combination of all three would be the best, because features are going to be subjective to what you use.
Exactly. There are better things to complain about spending money on, like the rising cost of insurance paying $2.50 for
taxes.
A drink at a restaurant or something like that. Complain about that and something. You can save that $2.50 and go buy you some fucking Avatar clothes.
Or $700 for a car part that costs $275 somewhere else.
Exactly.
Yeah. I the only thing I want, really, somebody have my money, a voice chat service that works. I'm sick and tired of using Skype for fighting games, because I have to have a laptop right next to me, and it's annoying.
I hear you.
But 13 wires going to my ear.
I hear you.
Yeah, cool. I'm with you on
that,
too.
All right.
Wrapped up.
Yeah, I think so. I don't know if we actually got anywhere with that, but
I think we stated what we thought was worth it and what we thought. And it seems like we, the three of us, have kind of the same general idea, but different specifics
as far
as our opinions, which I think is good.
Yeah.
Sync trophies automatically. Fuck you. Okay. Hey, let's do some new releases.
Why not?
Okay.
Hey, no voicemail from Repeat again this week.
No voicemail from the Repeats.
Oh.
Yeah.
What's going on?
I'm kind of sad. Well, here's what we got. So PS3 and Xbox next week are getting Deus Ex Human Revolution.
What? Game of the year.
And Street Fighter 3 Third Strike Online Edition.
Yeah,
that's the first game in PSN Plus.
Oh my god, that reminds me. I have fucking 13 minutes to... Anyway, keep talking.
PSN Play.
Play, yes.
That was it.
I got
a PS3 is also getting Hamilton's Great Adventure. And let's see. 360 is also getting the next Black Ops expansion, which will cost you $15 for like two maps.
Yeah.
3DS is getting a game. Holy crap. Shimigami Tensei Devil Survivor Overclocked.
That's actually
coming
out
for 3DS next week. And for PSP, I have down Fighting Fantasy Talisman of Death. I don't see a box shot or anything like that.
Talisman of Death.
The Talisman of Death. So, so yeah, that is your new release list. Pick of the week.
This is a tough one for me.
What? Deus Ex, son.
Well, mine's main was Deus Ex, of course. It looks awesome. But, I mean, Third Strike, man. Fully featured. Trials. Training rooms. GGPO. HD graphics. Well, up-res HD, but still. It's going to be hot. Third Strike. Check it out.
They're running the fighting genre back into the ground that they dug it out
of.
Yeah,
probably, but hey, Third Strike Online. A lot of people miss that, and I think a lot of people are going to get back into it because of Street Fighter 4.
I honestly think next year we're going to see the fall. Like, the refall of the fighting genre. They're just pouring it down our throats, dog. Like, I'm seriously, like, Super killed me. Like, I was done. Like, Super even killed it for me for Mortal Kombat, because even in the first week, I was like, Mortal Kombat, yes, and it's fun, and it's good, and I was like,
and now I'm done.
I'm done.
That's pretty much it.
I am done.
And I don't know how you get so excited for Madden. I don't get
it. Because I like football better than... I like football a lot better than punching someone in the face. How about that?
That's fine. I mean, teach them. I'm just saying. You're drawing the same comparison, that's all. You can say, it's better to say, I'm getting sick of fighting games. Not, that's bullshit, man. They're sticking it down our throats. Man, I can't fucking wait to play Madden 12 after this recording.
At least I get one Madden a year and not three different fighting games a year.
Okay, how many first-person shooters
totally
do you get a year?
Different than, that's mean like if there's three different football games a year, if there's three Street Fighter games a year, yes, you'd have a point. But different fighting games, like different sports games, really. When there's 2K football around, were you complaining? You had Madden, you had 2K?
No, I was playing 2K, actually.
Oh, yeah, of course.
I'm gonna be the odd man out, and I'm going to say Shin Megami Tensei.
Huh, nice.
Got to go with Atlas, man.
You should have went with the ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3 argument there, Travis.
The what?
Because
Capcom 3.
Same year, like 6 months or 8 months later. That's shoving it down.
Well, shit. I mean, look at Street Fighter 4 wasn't that much
that's
different.
That's what I'm talking about, man.
Street Fighter 4 and then Super Street Fighter 4, then Super Street Fighter 4 Arcade Edition. And
yeah, once a year. That's why.
Super and Arcade were less than a year apart.
They're pretty
exactly
close, man.
They're actually exactly a year. Or more than a year. Because Super came out in, I believe, April of last year. And then AE came out just last month. Or was it the month before?
It was the month before, I think. It came out download only first.
They're at least 1 year apart, all three of them. So it'd be just online with like a Madden release or any kind of sports franchise. NHL, FIFA. But yeah, I do agree with you. I think the industry overall is gonna kill the fighting genre again.
Yeah, Capcom's fucking up.
Yeah, they should. They need to kind of stagger their other Street Fighter. I think they're handling Street Fighter decently, but having two more versus games in a year is a bit much. And then already announcing Tekken Cross or Street Fighter Cross Tekken, and yeah,
yeah, it's a lot of shit, dude.
It is.
What's next?
What we do in is questions, but I don't know. Do we have time for that?
It's getting kind of late.
All right. Well,
we have an email. Any emails?
Have one email.
I cannot speak today. What the fuck?
I know. Me neither. I don't know what my deal is. I think I chewed up some ice a little earlier, so I can't really speak a little bit. I got a cold tongue. I don't know. It's weird.
I'm not even drinking today. So
I know it's weird. It's just off. It's an off week.
It's an off day.
It's an off week.
None of us are drinking, guys.
No, none of us are. You know what we should have done? We should have just said screw it and did running shit episode 2. That's what we should have. I'm just saying. And also, Mike PSN. Oh, wait, is saying something. He says, I hope you guys are doing okay. I wish I was, but Windows Vista fucking updates crashed and corrupted my PC Windows, aka porno. It's okay. I'm getting a Windows 7 soon. I wanted to know what Sega Arcade / console classics you like to be on PSN / Xbox Live. I would love to see Super Hang-On, Die Hard Arcade, Outrun, Power Drift, and Skies of Arcadia RPG, to name a few. Also, what other other PS2 games would you like to see in HD? Love to see Squaresoft or Square Enix redo the Final Fantasy X and Dragon Quest VIII. Also maybe a PS3 disc of Japanese shmup titles on it. Well, I am still in waiting, Mr. Shino, for my little gift from you. Message me if you need the email again. I do wish I had a time off in the cashola to go to Indus Fest this year, but I will make it to MGC, and I will sing this year if there's karaoke night. Oh, and I'll try to be online weekend for Extra Life. Maybe we can do Uno on the PS3. Mike,
nice.
PSN or something out.
Sega arcade game remade. What do you guys think?
Any Sega arcade game?
Yeah.
I like this. So many good ones. I don't like.
Virtual On would be kind of cool to see remade.
Didn't they remake that recently? Wasn't it like a downloadable game on Xbox Live Arcade? And it was garbage.
Or
was it just the Dreamcast version?
I don't remember.
I can't remember if it was a remake or a Dreamcast version. I have no idea.
You know, we were chatting the other day. We were talking about while we were doing IndieStream, Terry was online and he was talking about games that where you break armor, and I couldn't remember it. Fighting Vipers.
Yeah.
I would, we just went on that rant about fighting games, but I would love to see Fighting Vipers get a remake or a sequel or something, because that game was fun.
That game was fun actually. I'd love to see Daytona USA done again. Actually, not even just done again, just remade up res, like brand new textures, would have the exact same tracks and everything.
Even Virtual Racing would be nice to see, because I mean that was a good game.
It was fun.
That they haven't made a new one in God knows how long. So
fucking forever.
Could you imagine a Virtual Racing right now? That'd be crazy.
That would be pretty nuts. It would look very, very aged though. If they were to keep it, they would have to revamp
the whole thing. You know?
Sure.
They should totally port the Genesis version of Virtual Racing. No, I'm joking. I'm totally joking.
Terrible. That Jurassic Park light gun game I thought was pretty fun. Lost World.
You know, I never played that.
That was really fun.
Was it?
Really fun. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, I know that my favorite light gun games from Sega were Virtua Cop and of course House of the Dead.
Virtua Cop's definitely House of the Dead.
Oh, what was the one? Burning Rangers? Is that what it's called?
That wasn't in arcades, though, was it?
No, I don't think it was. It was a Saturn game, yeah. But that was a big one.
I was always a big fan of every time that I go into an arcade and it's here, I play it all the way through from start to finish. when we were in Toronto,
when you played with Zavari.
L.A. Machine Guns, dude. Always play L.A. Machine Guns.
It sounds like me and Time Crisis, man. Nice. I used to be that way with Time Crisis. Every time I went and there was a Time Crisis machine, I would have to play it beginning to end.
I've never beaten a light gun game in an arcade.
The only other one is not an arcade game. The only one I can think of offhand, and it's Assault Suit Lanos. It was a third party. It wasn't actually Sega, but the games were exclusive on Sega systems. So, well, no, that's not true. There was one that came out on Super NES. Okay, forget I said that one.
Fail.
Sega did the original Shinobi too, huh?
They did, yes. Shinobi is a Sega property.
They did all the Shinobis, I think, didn't they?
Yeah. And there's another one. There's a new Shinobi coming out on 3DS.
I saw that.
Graphically looks like ass, but looks like it's going to be fun.
Hopefully.
Ooh, and there was that wrestling game, Wrestle War.
Oh, Wrestle... Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, right.
Remember that shit?
Yeah, I do remember that.
That was awesome.
I do remember that.
PS2 games in HD.
PS2 games in HD? Well, fuck, a lot of them are being released anyway.
I know Zone of Enders is the first one that comes to mind for me.
Well, that's already been announced.
I know, that's what I mean. You said most of them have been announced, and that's what I said. The first one that comes to mind is Zone of Enders.
Zone of Enders.
Hi, welcome to the conversation, Jeff.
Sorry, I thought you were saying that's when you wished. I'm like, that's already been announced.
I'm good. I'm paying attention.
Nice. Fuck, man, I don't even know. I think all the main ones are all getting released anyway.
I would like to see, this is really, really random. I would like to see that, cause one of my favorite PS2 games is that Ultimate Spider-Man, like the cel-shaded Spider-Man, open world game.
Oh, yeah.
I would love to see that kind of like up res, better the frame rate, full screen that bitch. I think that would be fantastic to look at. I need to play that game tonight.
Fuck, you know what? Odin Sphere, man. I'd like to see that. Cause so it doesn't chug at like 13 frames a second at points.
Yeah, they wouldn't even have to do anything to that. Just stick it on the PS3 and use the extra resources. That's all you would have to do. And change the inventory system so it wasn't so annoying.
Yep.
That's the only reason I didn't play that game.
I think I'd go with.
Okami would be cool.
Being list stuff forever. Because I'm thinking of now all of a sudden these games are coming to my head. I'm like, oh shit, that would be awesome. Jumping Flash, yeah.
Ooh, Jumping Flash on PS1, yeah. Omega Boost, haha. A game that nobody liked but me. The only other game besides Gran Turismo that Polyphony Digital made.
I remember you explaining it one show, and I was like, I do remember that game, but I never played it.
It was a really badly acted.
The game that we all fucking want is Legacy of Soul Reaver.
That is probably the best one of the night right there, Jeff. I would love to see a Legacy of Kain. I would just want that to come back. I don't even need
just
a remake.
Want a new one.
Get
a new one. And it's not like it was a unsuccessful series. You think they would have made one? You know?
Crystal Dynamics, right? Are they still even around?
No, Crystal D.
I think they are, but they are with another. Right? Yeah, I think they're actually like they were swallowed by Eidos, which was then swallowed by Square. So,
yeah,
there you go. Cool. Any more emails?
No, we're out of emails, and I'm busy right now watching some video of Wrestle War. This looks really awesome.
Yeah, I remember that game. All
right, well, let's do questions that we can get out of here then.
Why not?
Cool. Hey, you know what next week is?
What's that?
Fucking contest entries, baby.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I
love really contest entries.
Already? All right, so this is so get your contest entries in for August. The contest was Love Later to a Game Chick.
We definitely can't speak today. Oh, my God. Alcohol is now a requirement.
For all Indus episodes from here on out?
Yeah, for real.
All okay. Right. Why not?
that sounds terrible.
Yeah, so send in your love letter to a chick from a video game, or, you know, I guess, I don't remember exactly how Jeff
could
put
be
it,
a
but
dude as well,
it's on the thread in Retroids, and I will post that in the show notes, or Travis will, one of us will. And so there you go. That's your question of the week.
Are
it is for a $20 Amazon gift card.
It
so send your question
of
the week responses to email at interactivedistractions.com or send us a voicemail at 706-760-4337.
It's ugly, but it's not.
Check us out on Twitter. We are Indus Podcast. And individually, we are Indus Chris, Indus Travis, Indus Jason, and Indus Geoff.
That's G-E-O-F-F because Jeff dropped from the Skype call. So I'll
he did?
Go ahead and say it for him. Geoff!
check us out. Check out our Facebook group that is Interactive Distractions Podcast. And I think that's about it. Anything else before we wrap up? Is Jeff back on the call? Hey, there he is.
I am back.
Welcome back, buddy.
So go with 7.
Yes, I agree.
Good stuff.
That's
me
all
too.
I got. What about you, Chris? Take us home.
Okay, thank you guys for listening. That was awesome.
And this train wreck.
Hope you guys enjoyed the show. If you did, please tell a few friends about us. And if you're on iTunes or Zune Marketplace, leave us a review. We'd appreciate that. So until next time, my name is Chris.
I'm Travis.
And I'm Jeff.
Play your games, and we'll talk to you next week.